Today is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 13, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. Today's message is titled, Sower and Seed. Hear the word of God from Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Here ends the lesson. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 13, beginning of verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Now continuing at verse 18 of chapter 13. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short while. When trouble or persecutions come because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who receives the word that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." The Gospel of the Lord. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help, for you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. Martin Luther's prayer. Me and my cousins, we're just trying to have a little fun. just trying to have a little fun during the extremely boring family reunion. When you're a young child and you went to family reunions, did you feel that way? Me and my cousins just trying to have a little fun during an extremely boring family reunion. Now, I'm trying to remember when this happened, what the year this very boring family reunion was happening. I do remember we're at my great aunt Hazel's farm. Hazel was my grandmother's sister, my dad's mom, my grandmother's sister. And after growing up at the Peterson Dairy Farm there in Callander, she married the neighbor and would be on a grain farm. And together, several farms that the family was a part of, they'd be farming thousands of acres. Thousands of acres. I remember it was around the 4th of July, though, in Callander, Iowa. Because I remember, it was this, me and my younger brother, Terry, we would be riding in the cab of the brand new combine the family had purchased in the 4th of July parade. I mean, that was a big thing, a brand new combine. That's something to show off. And at that time, combines were in the price range around $250,000, $250,000 for a new combine. It wasn't green, so it wasn't a John Deere. It might have been an International Harvester. It might have been a New Holland one, too. But, I mean, these days, combines, you know, those big harvesting machines with the big, long attachment on the front of it, you put all of that together, they're $1 million to get a big machine. And you need big equipment for farming big farms. I mean, they were doing 3,000 to 5,000 acres there of corn and beans and wheat and all that around Callander. So at the family reunion, grown-ups are doing the grown-up thing. They were enjoying sitting around and visiting, catching up on the news of the, and also, you know, a whole bunch of reminiscing about all that was going on. And we kids were left to fend for ourselves to find some fun. And on the farm, there's usually something to find fun in, and that usually means getting into mischief. In one of the barns, we found a trailer full of beans. Little round beans, and the texture and feel of the beans on bare feet, they were so cool to the touch and so cool to the feel. I mean, it was a good feeling. And then you'd lay down to the beans and you wiggle and the beans would just come up and cover you. And I mean, it was fun to just snuggle into the beans and cool down. I mean, we're just trying to entertain ourselves when we were found. And then with great self-control and composure, we were told to get out of that trailer full of beans. Then with great concern, they went up and looked in the trailer and started taking the beans in their hands, looking at them. Were they broken? Were they damaged? Lucky. We were lucky to get out of there without our hands, our hides being tanned. I mean, we were really lucky to get out of there without being tanned. We didn't know the trailer is full of seed beans. Yes, that was a trailer full of seeds. Bean seeds that would be planted the next week. If the seed was broken, it wouldn't grow and would be worthless to plant. As it turned out, in that trailer, those seed beans, they were worth several thousand dollars. We were just trying to have some fun. And, oh boy, that exceedingly valued to a farmer of that seed. As I said, we were lucky to get out of there with our hides not tanned. You know, seeds are amazing. I mean, in that little bundle of a seed is all the information needed to grow and produce a bounty. 60-fold, 100-fold or more, I mean, be fruitful. And the seed, the farmer, how the seed farmer takes that seed and plants it in faith, waiting and trusting the sun and rain will come in the right proportion, and then all the bumblebees would come around at the right time, you know, those honeybees to come around so that the plants would fertilize and crawl and all that wonderful stuff that God has created, and they'd grow and produce fruit. All that information needed to grow is in that seed, and that seed will produce according to its kind. Just as declared in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, beginning of verse 11, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Take a good, next time you have a seed in your hand, take a good long look at that seed. And you will see the hand of God, the Lord, the Creator, as seeds produce according to their kind. I plant wheat, I will get wheat. I plant corn, I will get corn. I plant tomatoes. Well, actually, I wouldn't plant them because I don't like them. I mean, but you plant zucchini, and soon you have zucchini growing out of your ears. There's so much zucchini. I mean, the gain of information doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen in the seed. The seed has all the information necessary for that plant to grow. Evolution does not happen. No information is added to that seed. The seed will produce according to its kind. It's just not possible for it to do anything else because there's this reality of irreducible complexity. All these things have to be in place. All these intricacies have to be in place. And that information's in that seed for a single cell of that plant to be. It's like an industrial plant. All the parts need to be present and functioning to have a living cell. And then you see the variety of sizes of seeds and the variety of shapes of seeds. From the largest seed that we know of right now is the double coconut. I mean, the double coconut is huge. To the smallest of seeds, certain orchids found in the rainforest. But the point is that the kind of seed determines what will grow. The seed will reproduce according to its kind. One day Jesus was by the sea and a great crowd had gathered around him so that Jesus got into a boat and sat down and sort of creating a natural amphitheater. Being up in Minnesota on the lakes, I learned that voices can carry across water a lot farther than you would actually think. That voice just carries across that water. It's Jesus just sitting in the boat, large crowd on the shore. And they're able to hear Jesus. Jesus was speaking. Jesus begins a parable. A parable is taking the familiar, ordinary, everyday, common thing of life. Some sort of happening we all see or an object we're so familiar with, and use it to teach a spiritual, heavenly truth. Taking a moment from common, ordinary, daily life that would be common for everyone to be able to relate to, so that understanding of the spiritual reality would come easier. Jesus begins a parable. And it is Matthew here. He identifies it as a parable. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to teach you a parable. Jesus just begins his story. It's Matthew that identifies this as a parable. Jesus just begins the story. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Now, I know that. I've seen that. I mean, the people on the shore, as a matter of fact, I'm a farmer. So all the people who've seen it or done it are farmers. They've gone out one time or another to sow a seed. I know that, and it still happens. And so the familiarity of that is to teach the spiritual reality. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Some fell on the path. Some on rocky places, some among the thorns, and some on good soil. I've seen birds come and eat the seed that falls on rocky paths. I've seen weeds choke out plants. I've seen the sun scorch plants too. All these things Jesus uses in his story are very familiar sights and images Jesus is describing here. The good seal, the good soil. Make sure the seed lands on good soil. That's the reason I'm planting, is to grow a crop. to produce a great crop, 160, 30 times more than the seed I sowed. All of these images to the people standing on the shore are familiar. And then Jesus adds, Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." Ho, ekton, ato, akuato. Ho, ekton, ato, akuato. That's the Greek. And it's this in English, word for word. The one having ears, let him hear. And akuato, it's imperative. It's an exclamation point at the end of that. The one having ears, let him hear. Exclamation point. You know that Victor Borga. If you ever see Victor Borga, I mean, doing that. You got to look it up. It's funny. But exclamation point is there. The one having ears, let him hear. Exclamation point. Akuato. It really means to hear God's voice in a manner that brings forth that birth of faith in a person. To hear, really hear, so as to understand, such that faith is birthed in you. The Greek word akouto, it's imperative tense. It's a command. Do this. Command to hear. Because what hearing is of vital importance. In other words, Jesus is, through this parable, is telling the great crowd exactly what he is doing, what he has been doing, and what he is continually doing. He is casting the seed. He is scattering the seed. He is sowing the seed. Jesus is sowing the seed. And you have ears. Hear. Hear him. Hear Jesus. Hear this. Have your life changed forever. You know that, oh, happy day, I'm forever changed. My sins are washed away. Hear, really hear this. How? Truly hear this. How? Jesus sat in the boat. This writing by Matthew emphasizing Jesus sat down, it's intentional, to show us that Jesus is taking the position of a teaching rabbi. Teaching. He's taking the position of teaching. Luke does the same thing in chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. Jesus goes home to Nazareth, and he's back to his hometown. He goes into the synagogue, which was his habit. He'd always be in synagogue for that worship on the Sabbath. Isaiah scroll is handed to him, and Jesus opens the scroll up and starts reading. So Luke 4, beginning at verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has appointed me to preach good news to the poor." In other words, scatter the seed. "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners," scattering the seed, "and recovery of sight for the blind," that means to understand, "to release the oppressed," bring freedom, scattering the seed brings freedom, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor," scattering the seed. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. Notice, sat down. Gave it back, sat down, because now he's going to teach. And listen to what's happening in the synagogue. "The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, 'Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" So he's standing to read from the sacred scrolls, hands it back, and then sits down. In that seated position, all the eyes of everyone in the synagogue are fastened on him. All the eyes were attenizo, and it's an intensified stretch and strain, completely fixed, fully occupied, observing with great interest, which also means the ears are perked wide open with great interest, as Jesus takes that position of a teaching rabbi. In rabbinical literature, it's often you find the phrase, "he sat and taught." he sat and taught. That commonly appears in rabbinical literature. The position of a rabbi teaching is sitting with the students gathered around. So Jesus is sitting down, and the rest, they're quiet, and they gather around, and Jesus is teaching now. He's going to teach. Shh. Jesus is going to teach. Jesus began the parable in a very dramatic way. The NIV that we read during the lessons does not capture it. Does not capture the dramatic way Jesus begins it. The NASB 95, the North American Standard Bible 95 edition, it conveys it much better. And this is how it begins. Matthew 13, verse 13. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." Behold, the sower went out to sow. Behold, idil. And it's behold, idil. And this word calls attention. Pay attention. Pay attention to what follows. And then what follows is the one sowing sows. Went out the one sowing to sow. That's how it begins the Greek word order. The one went out sowing to sow. But right before that is ideo. Behold, the one sowing went out to sow. Then Jesus continues with very descriptive language in the sowing story. Birds come and devour it, all with rapacious, voracious appetites. That's the words mean it. The words are just going, rah, rah, rah. I mean, they're just really devouring that seed as fast as they can, leaving nothing behind but ruin. That's what the Greek words really mean there. The birds come so intensely, voraciously, and rapaciously, they ruin everything around it. So and they take it all. Nothing is left behind but ruin. And then the next description is the sun comes up and burns and scorches. You've seen that happen to plants. They grow up and then the sun just burns and scorches them. Or the thorns. They grow up and they choke out and strangle the plants. But yet on the good soil, some seed indeed produces hundreds, some 60, some 30. And the Greek order is on the good soil, some indeed a hundredfold, some now 60, some now 30. Soil the good. Good is kalos. Good is kalos. It means the outward appearance shows the inward character. I mean, you can look at soil and you can tell that is not good soil for the garden. And then you try to make it good by a lot of work and all that, putting this in to turn it over, advert, and all that. Or you can look at the soil and say, man, that is good soil. Out in Iowa, it's very easy to say, you know, that is good soil. You know, the soil, topsoil for growing is spade deep. And I don't mean the head of the spade. I mean the handle of the spade. I mean, that is good soil there around Callander, Iowa. And so that's good soil. And so you know it. And you want the seed to fall on this good soil. Just looking around, you can tell when you see the good soil. From the clay soil of Ohio to the rich soil. I mean, you can see the difference. That's what this is talking about. Good. Good soil. Look at it. You know deep inside that soil is good. And so the crop grows. The crop grows. In the good soil where the seed fell, oh, it produces an abundance. 30-fold is an abundance. Yes, 30-fold is an abundance. 60-fold is an abundance. 100, that means 100 times more, is an abundance. The good ground is set apart by its fruitfulness. It's abundance. The multiple descriptions of abundance is to highlight how fruitful the good soil truly is. Be good soil. Receive the seed. In the good soil you are. You see, the seed, the same seed is scattered in all those different places. The same seed lands in all that different places. What distinguishes and what varies the results is how it lands, where it lands. That is that varies the income, the outcomes. It's not the seed. It's where it lands and how it's received. How hearing the word of the kingdom, that is hearing the rule and reign of God in the heart. That's what Jesus is proclaiming as the Christ. And several outcomes may happen. These several outcomes are part and parcel of the mystery of the Lord God birthing faith in people. How God births faith in people. It's God's mystery, God's sovereignty, God's providence. How one person responds, hearing the same word, and how another person responds, hearing the same word. Two vastly different responses, but the exact same word. That's a mystery, and it belongs to God. And you let it be there, a belonging to God. Birthing faith in the person doesn't birth faith. And how to understand the person's response, whether it births faith or not, that's way above my pay grade to comprehend. Leave it in the mystery and sovereignty of God. But still, scatter the seed. Scatter the word. Why some hear and respond, and why some hear and refuse to be changed by the grace, and they don't respond, that's God's business. God and God alone in Christ Jesus. Sower sows the seed. The birds coming and devouring with such destruction is the one who hears the message of the kingdom, does not understand. And in that does not understand that Jesus is describing there in Matthew chapter 13, there's a sense of willfulness present, pushing back against the message of the kingdom. So the seed is scattered towards the person, this is on the path, and there's a pushing back. I don't want the seed. There's a willfulness present there to hear the word of God. So that willfulness is pushing back against the message. It's not a matter of intellectual ability. Rather, it's a reflection of the moral desire. I just don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to the hard truths of the message of the kingdom. Don't tell me about it. That's what the path is like. It's pushing back. It's like a person, maybe kids doing, maybe you've done it. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about it. I just don't. Have you ever done that or seen kids do that? Cover the ears thinking, that's enough. I'll push back. That's the sense here of the seed falling on the hard path. I don't want it. It's a pushing back. I don't want to listen to the hard truths of the scripture. I will not listen to you. I will not hear what you are saying. In a manner, the evil one comes and is decisively snatching the word from the heart. The evil one takes away the message so that the heart forgets and goes back to doing what it pleases, which the evil one really wants us all to do, is do what we please, ignore what God says, do what we please. So the evil one takes away the message so the heart forgets and is not changed. And over time, what happens is the heart gets harder and harder and harder and harder. The hardened heart, so lost in sin, these words of the message of the kingdom of God make no impression, and the evil one quickly snatches it away in efforts to keep the word of God from ever making an impression. There is an evil one. There is an evil one. And that evil one does not want people to hear the word of God. Remember the times when the Bible had to be smuggled behind the iron curtain? And now, even these days, there's places that the Bible has to be smuggled into. Countries where people are not free to be Christian. If you want to understand the nature of a place, want to understand the nature of a person's heart, is the Bible freely allowed to be shared there? Can you share the words of Scripture there? If you want to understand it, can you share the words of Scripture? There's places you can't. Why? Because the Scripture brings freedom in Christ, and freedom in Christ brings freedom to people from oppression of dictatorships and other things like that. So the Bible, if you want to understand, can you talk about the Bible freely there? If you can't, the evil one is at work. The evil one is present there to snatch away the word of God. Where the Bible, the sacred word of God, is not free to be given, not free to be shared, not free to be read, the evil one is active. This happened just a little while ago. A Pennsylvania street preacher was arrested in reading Pennsylvania for simply reading the Bible across from a pride event. The charges were eventually dropped after video shows what actually took place. He was holding a sign that said, Jesus said, go and sin no more. And also reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, beginning at verse 33. Reading Pennsylvania, you couldn't read the Bible. Charges were dropped, but the preacher was still arrested. That's what we're talking about here. The rocky path. It hears the word with joy, but it has no root. No resources to feed that word and sustain the word. I mean, a resource to feed that word and sustain the word is, as Jesus' custom was, on Sabbath came around, he was in the synagogue. Today, now, as Sunday comes around, be in the house of God. Hear the word of God. Sing praises to God. Pray to God. Feed the root so that the scripture grows in you. So the rocky path, that person has no root. They don't do the things to build that root, to feed that root. And like anything else with no root, it dies. It dies. No staying power in persecution or tribulation that will come on account of the word. John chapter 6 tells us of Jesus giving a hard teaching. And the people were having a really hard time accepting it. And he turns, and many of the disciples turned their back on Jesus. They will no longer follow Jesus. And Jesus then has this take place. John chapter 6, beginning of verse 67. You do not want to leave me too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Trials, tribulations, persecutions, they're coming. Make sure you have deep roots. Be sure to grow deep roots so you hear the words of life Jesus speaks. The thorns, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choking it out. You know, when the different companies say, we're going to be closed on Sunday so our people can go home and eat. Chick-fil-A, Hobby Lobby, we're going to be closed on Sundays. The different places saying, are you nuts? You're giving up all that business on Sundays? Well, those companies have shown they do very well without being open on Sundays. The deceitfulness of wealth, making it unfruitful. The thorns of life. I mean, worries. Worries can also pull you away from that. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So the thorns of life, the worries of life and all that, wondering what inflation's going to do, wondering what gas prices are going to do, what are food prices, do not be anxious about anything. Take your worries to Jesus. So the thorns, that deceitfulness of wealth, the worries of life, don't let them interfere. Grow deep roots by memorizing Scripture. Good soil. Good soil. Hears and understands the Word. Hears in such a manner that God births faith. In birth of faith and understanding. And this is seen and demonstrated by discerning and doing what is the sacred Scripture reveals as the preferred will of God. Scripture says this is sin. Scripture says this is good. Are you doing this is sin that Scripture describes, or are you doing this is good as Scripture describes? As more and more the in-birth faith comes to you, you do less and less of what Scripture says is sin, but yet we are sinners. Saved by grace, and you do more of that preferred will of God. You desire to do what God says. So that good soil produces fruit, that fruitfulness. So you discern what is God's good will. You discern what is right and true. And nowadays, people are saying good is evil and evil is good. And oh my goodness, so confused. And they're ignoring the word of God completely. But you, be the good soil that hears and desires to really know God. God's grace comes into you by that seed, that word of God. and it transforms your life. You're transformed by grace. You're born again. And now you're living a fruitful life in Christ. In Christ. Now, at various times in our lives, each one of us have been, are, were, will be one of these four types of soil. The hard path, the rocky path, the thorny place, the good soil. We're one of them. Be mindful and be honest with yourself that is your heart. You want to be the good soil for the Word of God to take deep root and be fruitful. You really exceedingly want to be fruitful. How to become that way? You get to know the Word of God. You go to worship. You read the Word of God. And you take it all in from Genesis to Revelation as the revealed Word of God. God breathed. God gave us, given to us for us to know and grow in love with all our hearts, mind, body, and soul to the Lord. And also be aware the evil one wants to snatch this word from you and cast doubts of, did God really say? Just as the serpent did in Genesis chapter 3. As he spoke then, did God really say, still speaks today? I mean, you've heard it. Love is love is love is love, right? In the beginning, God created the male and female such that a man will leave his home, mother, leave her home, and so on, and the two will become one. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Male, female, husband, and wife. That is love. Not what the world claims love is today. So did God really say? So really get to know the Word of God. From Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning a few verses earlier now, Isaiah 55. I'm going to begin at verse 6 and go through a portion of our lectionary reading today. So beginning of Isaiah 55, beginning of verse 6. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and you will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I said and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. And that word in the beginning was spoken, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be, and it was. Let there be. And that powerful word that brought about all of this creation is the same word that's being sent out to you to know and love Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And God sends it out, and there's that rocky path. I don't want to hear it. There's the thorny path. Yeah, way great. Hold, I got to go do this. There's the thorns. Well, I'd rather. And then the good soil produces fruit, fullness, abundance. Jesus is the Christ. That is the Word of God. Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. In Him is life. In Him is life, eternal life. Life that goes from here on. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him. He is near. Forsake your ways for His ways. Turn to Jesus. Draw near to Jesus and He'll have mercy on you. That's just the words of Isaiah 55, just put in a slightly different context so you can understand them. This is Jesus, God, also speaking to you. Come to Him. He will have mercy on you. He will freely pardon you. Your sins will be forgiven. That is the message of the kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming. Hear the message and be born again. The word of the kingdom is so that you know Jesus and you know the one who sent Him as in John 17 he says, this is life, to know God and the one whom God has sent, Jesus. This is life, eternal life. So the word of the kingdom is know Jesus. Draw near to Jesus. Receive Jesus into your heart completely and fully. Don't push him back like the path. Don't let be that rocky place that the life cares take you away or the thorns choke you out. Be the good soil. And know Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. And that grace, you will be forever changed by that grace, because you are freely forgiven, and life in Jesus' name is yours. Faith has been birthed in you, and that is forever. That is what the Word of God is sown for. Faith to be born in you. Draw near. Believe Jesus is the Christ. Amen and amen.